Hello and welcome to another episode of Pyro Unleashed. Tune in weekly as Donnie and David discuss all things pyro, from the business aspect of the industry to technical tips and mesmerizing pyro designs. On Pyro Unleashed, we invite cutting-edge experts to the podcast to discuss their role in making this industry a success. So, sit back and unleash your inner pyro with us.
Here we are, Donnie, episode number 11. How's it going?
Absolutely going good. Yep, if everything works out right, we are at number 11.
We are at number 11. All right. Well, a new sponsorship here. We got Dominator Fireworks. Dominator Fireworks is a China-based supplier of all things pyrotechnics, from sparklers to 8-inch display shells and everything in between. Dominator offers almost double the SKUs of any other supplier. Dominator Fireworks was established almost 2 decades ago and has a reliable, trustworthy supplier in the industry since 2005. Dominator has been a lifelong supporter of the PGI, NFA, APA, and countless regional clubs and organizations, and now the Pyro Unleashed podcast.
So, yeah, big shout out there to Ed over there at Dominator.
Yeah, for... really appreciate that, Ed.
Yeah, for sponsoring us and being a supporter of the podcast. He was one of our first guests on here. And
yeah, he was the first guest. So yeah, really huge shout out to him for helping us out and supporting the podcast.
Absolutely. It looks like we have a guest tonight, don't we?
We do. We have Scott Hsu. How's it going, buddy?
It's going well. How's it going to you guys?
Good, good, good.
Thanks
for having me on. How's the weather out by you? Hey, anytime, brother. How's the weather out by you?
Rain, and more rain.
Rain, yep, same here.
It's been a very warm winter. It's very unusual.
Very warm winter, and now we got a lot of rain. I think we were having 40 mile an hour winds today, which is super weird, but you know, that's whatever. It's spring for you, right? Mm-hmm. How about you, Donnie? How's the weather about you, brother?
It's kind of hit and miss. I mean, it was pretty cold this morning. We had some snow flurries this morning, but it's like the same with you guys here in Missouri. It's been a fairly warm winter, so
yeah.
It was kind of breezy over the weekend, nice, but I'm supposed to be back in the 70s this coming weekend, so it's a roller coaster this time of year.
Yeah, 70s sounds absolutely phenomenal. I wish. All right, Scott. So, man, how did you get into fireworks?
I've always had a passion as a kid with sparklers, and it just evolved from that. I did the backyard shows. We had a big family reunion, but I would always do backyard shows. I would always try to do something, create like a wow factor in all my shows, and then found pyro musicals around 2010. I went to my first PGI as a general public, and it's been evolving since.
Yeah, PGI seems to hook a lot of people. Where about are you located?
I'm in Wisconsin, the Appleton area.
Wonderful. Yeah, so PGI last year was like not far from me at all.
10 miles away.
That's awesome. So while we're talking about it, I know you did, was it Sunday night? You did the closing show for Sunday night. You want to talk to us a little bit about that and kind of give us the rundown on that?
Yeah, our club, WPEG, we did a public show for PGI the opening night. Was it opening night?
Yeah.
Jeez, I forget.
It was, it was Sunday night. Yep.
Yeah, it was the first night. That was a club collaboration, both designing and equipment and everything that was for that show. It went pretty smoothly. We're a builder's club, so I did have concerns, but I couldn't ask to go any better than it did.
It really was one of the better ones that we've seen.
Especially good for opening night.
About how many cues did you have in there? Do you remember?
There was just over 1,900 cues in that show. I think 1,200 of those cues were all the single shots. Everything else was in shells, pretty much. Yeah. There was like 700.
How many fronts did you have?
What's that?
How many fronts did you have out there?
We had 9.
Okay.
I would, going back, I'd probably add another one in there.
Yeah.
go from 9 to, I mean, add two more in there, go from 9 to 11. But, you know, with equipment and knowing what, how much equipment we can get, that was going into it, that was kind of a concern. So we started designing with 9 position fronts.
Okay. So I guess that leads me, to my next question. Why would you go with 11 instead of 9?
It would just fill 11 positions in the same footage would fill it better. It would just look better in my opinion. A little more tighter, comments and stuff are a little more tighter together. I'm still happy how it went.
Definitely. What was the frontage? Like how wide was your guys' frontage?
480 feet.
480, okay.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So that's roughly, I mean, it's close to SkyWars. I think SkyWars is a little less than that. But yeah, I think PGI is like 600 feet this year for frontage. So
yeah, I don't know the details on this year's PGI. I know where it is. That's all I know.
Yeah.
I'm not doing the show this year, so I haven't really checked into that.
Well, I happen to know Donnie and I both are doing shows, and if you want to come out, we would be more than happy to have you.
I'll be there.
Help out on the crew. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we're doing them. I'm doing Sunday night, so I'm actually doing what you did last year.
Mm-hmm.
And Donnie's doing the anthem on Friday night for Dominator. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, it's gonna be a great time. Yeah. Yeah. So.
And so you've also shot other PGI shows, haven't you? Like some of the competition ones.
I did a large C competition the year before last year. It took first place on that. That was interesting. It was good to do that because then I kind of learned about the display area and stuff like that. So it gave me a better understanding for this year going into it.
Yeah.
Production and all that. But that was a fun show to do.
Yeah. So yeah. You said unlimited. And, so how many positions did you do? And
the large C, you get 3 positions. The entire your entire footprint has to be under 100 square feet.
Okay.
So each position like 10 by 10 feet. A 10-foot square, and then you get 3 positions. You can go as far apart or as close together as you want. You can use 1-4 Pro. You can use Class C in it. The one I did a lot of modifying cakes. I took single shots out of cakes, racked them, and then did individual slices and cakes on that show. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What other competitions have you done? I know you've done Blind Pyro and 23 at SkyWars. I think you did Pro-Am in 21. So talk to us a little bit about those two experiences.
Yeah, Pro-Am, about as bad as it can go for somebody. we had a bit of a technical difficulty without getting details, giving any details about it. But yeah. So only 20% of that show went up. So yeah, that was tough.
That seemed to be a year for troubles in 21.
Yeah. It did. It was a bad year. There was a couple shows that were no goes. Yeah.
Yeah, a couple year. I think it was 2 or 3 of them that were no goes. I know we had crews out in the field trying to fix wires because the safety team was out and. Ran over some of our trunk lines and we had to clean all that up, but got all that squared away and thank God we were able to get it was in the range of 95-97% of the show went off. So looking back, yeah, I really don't think it could have been any better for what we were dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really glad we got it off the ground, but yeah, no, I feel for you. Having complications in a big site like that. I mean, obviously last year, you know, don't mean to harp on it a lot, but, you know, had a messed up soundtrack last year. So I feel for you. I know exactly what it feels like for something to go wrong. And it always seems like, you know, for you and I mean, obviously it's like, if it's going to go wrong, it's going to go really wrong. Yeah, that's just the case. I feel you.
When you're going into the pro-am, Scott, I mean, how did you prepare for that? Like, what did you do to prepare to get ready for all that?
So I started choreographing, I think, in March already. March and April, I start working on the show, selecting the music, and I start putting it together. It's an awesome opportunity. It's stressful. I enjoyed everything about it. That year we also dealt with the problem with the shortages. So 1/4 Pro was almost impossible to find at that time.
Really hard to find.
It really was, yeah.
Yeah, so it created some issues with that. But I mean, the experience, I still look at the experience. It was an awesome experience, even though we had a problem out in the, you know, technical difficulty and stuff. But I still enjoyed it, you know.
Yeah. Did you do any dry runs for that show at all, or?
I did. but I don't want to discuss the technical difficulty. I mean, people are close to me, know exactly what happened.
Yeah.
But I don't want to really go into details on it. But yeah, I definitely did.
No, you're good. Yeah.
I definitely did that.
So some things I think you will talk about. How many helpers did you have for that show?
We had myself, I'm thinking six or seven.
Right.
Helped on that show. Yeah.
Did you feel like that was enough help? I mean, say, you know, everything was up to par.
It was, because I did no prep beforehand other than labeling stuff. And yeah, we had the show done, all set up. I would like to stop earlier than we did, but we're still like set up within 2-3 hours before the show.
Okay.
But I mean, there's a lot to learn in that pro-am. I mean, I learned about what to do, you know, doing some of the pre-work, the pre-setup stuff. Also with the firing system and testing stuff. I mean, I learned a lot on that too. You know, that's a mistake you don't want to make twice, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a learning experience.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of just briefly touched on that. Like, what firing systems do you normally use?
I use Firetruck personally. I shoot with J&M. That's all Cobra. The WPIG show was all Cobra last year. I know quite a bit about Cobra, but I don't know, like, do the technical stuff. Like, with Firetruck, I know more of the technical things. But, yeah.
If you had to choose another firing system to shoot with, what would you choose? If you decided Firetech and Cobra weren't the ones for you, or do you feel like those are the best?
I mean, Mongoose isn't a bad choice. I mean,
yeah.
From what I've seen of it,
no, I've looked at it myself, man.
Yeah, from what I've
I think
seen
at BGI
of it,
we discussed it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, sitting side by side with Sean, both at PGI. The large C competitions two years ago, and a blind pyro. I mean, the system works really nice. It's got a lot of features other systems don't have. But yeah, that probably would be the route I would take. I mean, I still would stay with Firetech. That was the first system I went with. I felt was for me. I liked that everything is compact. It's small. It was ahead of its time. Everything else is kind of caught up to Firetech now, but it was kind of ahead of its time with the DMX and time code and different things it had. So, yeah.
Okay. So would you think about reapplying for Pro-Am again or another division at PGI? Or, I'm sorry, Skywars?
That is a serious question. I want to say 70% chance I would.
Yeah, okay.
It's gotten really big now. I mean, it's...
It has.
Yeah, you're
looking
at...
I think I was hearing the most entries they've ever had this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking at... you're looking at 3,000 cues just to compete nowadays in Pro-Am.
It's crazy, yeah.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, then, it does take a while.
For like a first-time Pro-Am person, what's the number one tip that you would maybe make a suggestion for them?
It's just a lot of details. Very, just be very detail-orientated. Like, everything, have a plan. Have a plan for almost every step.
Even have a plan for how long you're going to sleep. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but, like, you have to plan your sleep schedule. Like, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but, like, really, you have to have, I mean, it's down to, like, minutes you have to prep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say get as much as you can get done ahead of time.
I mean,
I don't want to go into specifics on that because some people say yeah, some people say no, so I'm sure people know what I'm talking about. But I will say this, there is no DOT rules. There is no DOT rules about transporting. But yeah.
I agree. I'll say it for you, man. I prep all of my shows as much as I can ahead of time. I mean, I go as far as putting plugs into slats. As long as there's no battery power to it, I'm going to plug it in and get as much pre-work done as I can.
I mean, that was literally the only way we got our SkyWars show together this last year. I mean, we showed up with everything ready to go. That was the only way we had enough time.
I had matches in every effect already. And then, let's see. 9 of my 21 fronts were completely plugged in. So if it wasn't for that, there's no way I'd have got my show off the ground.
No, I believe it, because I had my Pro-Am, I had around 900 cues, and it took us, with no prep other than labeling, it took us every bit of time we needed to set that show up. So I believe that. I mean, the same as the PGI show, too. We had the single shot racks already done. And the thing with the single shot racks, too, is you want people that you can really trust. They're not going to make a mistake. Because if you get one comment or one line going the wrong way, everybody's going to notice it. Everybody's going to see it.
Yeah.
I mean, we did have an issue in the WPEG show. We had in our number 9 position. Somebody was pulling the plastic off the rack, and they pulled a bundle of single shots off the pyroramas. And without really looking where it belongs, they just put that bundle back on. So you have, throughout that show, you have, I think, there's like 5 shots going the wrong way. So things like that can happen.
Yeah, I always put, I mean, personally, I do. You said that, and that's funny, because I try and put the most experienced people on the fronts. Because, I mean, really, you look at pyro musicals nowadays, and I mean, that's the most important part. I mean, you said it yourself. You had 1,200 of your 1,900 cues at PGI was just frontage. And I mean, that's probably the key, most key part of musicals anymore is the frontage, you know, the precision work. Because, I mean, as nice as shells are, I agree with Tong Po or Ellery. Like, they're really meant to accent. Your single shots keep your timing. They keep your pace. And that's why I like, you know, especially what Ellery does. He does phenomenal work. And primarily because, you know, he understands that shells are not, they're not reliable on timing, or is reliable as a single shot can be.
Yeah. And you're not creating any patterns or anything with shells either.
Right.
They just kind of accent things, filler. That's pretty much, you know, and then like certain music is going to call for certain shells, like your Willow shells, your Nishiki shells, horsetails, and them kind of shells like that. Otherwise,
So I'm going to ask you a question that I ask everybody, because I like to get other people's opinions. Does the music come first, or does the fireworks come first?
Music.
Music. And absolutely. How hard is it for you to pick your music track?
I have a list of probably 20 songs.
Okay.
If you told me how to create a power musical tomorrow, I could find the 3, 4, 5 songs I'm going to use, you know, because I know which ones I like the most, and those are the ones I would pick from. Because I got a few songs on that list, like, I can't wait to use that song. I can't wait to use the song on the fireworks show, you know.
Yeah. Is it Katy Perry?
It ain't no Katy Perry. It is not even an epic version of her, no.
No, I know your style. I wouldn't think you would put Katy Perry in a song or in a show.
Dramatic stuff. That's definitely my thing.
Yep. Yeah. No, I like the epic dramatic stuff. I don't know why lately I've been kind of leaning more towards EDM, and I think that's more because I'm starting to get into the DMX and lighting and all that kind of stuff.
Now I did try.
Sure. A lot of it's just due to, you know, doing Cobra Con this year. I mean, the cold closing show is just that. It's, you know, well, I guess by the time you guys hear this, it'll be done. But yeah, what were you saying?
I did an EDM song in the Pro-Am, Armin van Buuren song. I did do one of those. Actually, there was two of them in it. There was another one. There's an Alan Walker that was in it too, but it was more of a slow.
Was that Faded?
Yeah, it was Faded. Yep.
Yeah, that's I love that piece. It's a beautiful, wonderfully orchestrated piece.
I'll have to do it justice someday. But that's the thing too. I never go back to the music I used. It's always something new and fresh. I just never feel like it just feels stale to use a song I already used in the past.
I think I've only ever heard of one person really reusing music, and when I heard why he does it, it made complete sense. So, really famous person actually. But he actually tests music for, like 3 years. He'll go to different venues and he'll test the same song and script different things differently and see how he gets the reactions from each, way of scripting it. And then that's what he takes to competitions.
That's an interesting technique.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's intriguing to me. I'm going to have to dive a little bit more into it because I don't know.
I'll have to ask you off air who this individual is. I'm interested to know who this is now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's when I say his name, you're going to be like, no way. But yeah. It's pretty cool. So, So let's talk about Blind Pyro last year. How did that go for you?
That is an awesome experience. I entered the Blind Pyro back, I want to say, like, was it 2019? The year that the demos got shut down. So none of the Blind Pyros won up that year, which was a very little product compared to what we had last year. Last year was crazy, the amount of product we had for the shows.
How many cases did you have for that, side note?
It was a lot.
Roughly, yeah, love.
Maybe more than somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 20 in there, maybe. That was a
cases.
Lot.
Wow.
Probably more like 15, I'm thinking now. So with that, I had a rough script created. Basically, that just featured the single shots, and I had this blank places for cakes to put cakes in that show. And of course, when we got our single shots, there's a lot of stuff that got taken out of that show too, because it wasn't enough. And you think you have time to modify cakes and stuff, but you really don't have a whole lot of time to modify anything.
It's like four hours, right?
Yeah. So I considered taking like single shots out of cakes and stuff, but once we started working on it, I was like, yeah, this isn't going to happen. So what I ended up doing is use my single shots to emphasize the parts of the music and then use the cakes as filler. I think I modified one cake. I took one cake apart, created some slices out of it. But you are seriously pressed for time. I mean, we didn't have anything wired up because I was trying to choreograph at the same time they were tearing stuff apart and e-matching stuff. And we had, I think, 45 minutes to get everything e-matched. That's how much time. Okay, I got out there, and then we had a rush to get it done. But it went off great. I mean, I'm happy with the show. We got second place.
Yeah, awesome.
Now, did you guys like divide up the roles on the team? Like each person was responsible for a different part of it, or did you guys kind of just swarm at one task at a time?
No, these are questions we ask him after.
So I can't.
I'm just kidding.
So I dictated pretty much what everybody's going to do. So I got the guys that are more technical and more detailed oriented guys. Well, that's what the jobs they got. And then the people that don't know as much, they tore cakes apart and did stuff like that. You can't dictate. You can't know what each person's strength is, and that's where you put that person. Okay. Works great that way.
So how do you label things, or how do you know where to plug things in? Like, you know, post designing and you're starting to plug things in. What does that look like?
You're talking about the blind pyro, yeah?
Yeah, the blind pyro, yeah.
I create labels with labeled stuff. But they're very generic labels. They would say like Red Comet or Red Mine, or just very generic. And you still knew what product is, like a singer set. You knew it was a red, it was like some kind of Red Mine or whatever. And you knew that would have been a Red Mine. So it was pretty simple that way. And the cakes, they all, of course, I took the printer with me too. So I modified everything in the camper and then printed off labels. And it worked out pretty well. There's really no mistakes. I mean, we have one mine going the wrong way in the opener part, but everything went off pretty well.
Okay.
If anybody has an opportunity to do it, do it. It is a lot of fun.
Yeah. What other events are you attending this year? Going to anything? I know.
I'll be at PGI again. I'll be at SkyWars. Those are my two events I go to every year. Then I got my club shoots, the W Peg shoots. I try to make as many as possible. Depends on my work schedule.
Now, earlier you mentioned a little bit about WPEG being a builder's club.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about, you know, like what do you guys build, and like, you know, how does that kind of work and stuff as far as the club aspect?
Yeah, our club is mainly builders. That's just because that's the membership and that's what people are into. But we're getting more display people are joining the club, the backyard display guys like myself and others. We have some excellent builders in our club. I mean, we showcase some of the shells in that WPEG show. Like, for instance, the very last shell that goes up at the end of that show, that was made by Ron Jansen. That was a 12-inch shell. And we had another Ron shell. So I think it was after the Welcome to My House. I think there was a nice shell that went up. Mark Martin had a multi-break Italian shell that went up at the end of the 70s show opener, which was supposed to go higher in the air, but when it lifted out of the mortar, it punched the mortar into the ground like 3 feet or something like that, cushioned it. So it didn't get near as much height as it should have gotten.
Okay.
Do you guys build year-round and just, like, store stuff and then shoot them for club shoots and other events? Or?
Yeah, so we have guys that have a Type 20, and they build on their own property. And we got some that come and only build there at the club. It all depends what you have for a license and all that. We have some great builders. We got the Hornick family that builds rockets and Girandolas, and then we got the shell guys like Ron Jansen, Jerry Kobecki. The Hubens do excellent shells.
If you've been to PGI, all those names sound familiar.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if you go walk around the manufacturing area too, you'll see a lot of them, and they're very friendly, and they'll show you what they're doing and stuff. Because I seen Jansen's and stuff last year in the manufacturing tent and talked with him for a little bit, and so. Great people to talk to.
And they're willing to share. They're willing to share everything they know. If anybody's interested in building, it's the club to join, that's for sure. And everybody there is willing to teach.
So tell us, like, what do you feel is the importance of a club? Like, whether it's, you know, maybe like KCAP, where they're more into, designing musicals and competing against each other, or You know, like your club, and you know, you guys are just not just you guys are, you know, building shells primarily. Like, what's the benefit of joining the club?
Well, the two biggest benefits is networking within the pyro community, and the other is building pyro friendships. It's like we had a winter shoot. I only went to that winter shoot for just the social aspect of it, really, because you build friends within the community. Those are the two most important things. It's just the camaraderie.
Yeah. I mean, you literally create your own pyro families, essentially.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, most definitely do, yeah.
Yeah, that's the way it is for all of us in KCAP, is we just see ourselves as one big family, and people do. They just come out to the club shoots to socialize and to help out with the shows and just to hang out and see everybody a lot of times.
Yeah, and it always seems like even, you know, I'm a part of HPA, and we, you know, it feels like, you know, the first time you guys meet, or we meet up back in April, it's just like, yeah, it just feels like, well, we're back together again. It's mm-hmm. great. It's great. Cause normally we, you know, we have snowy winters here. I mean, I guess we all really do. We all take off at least 4 months, so we're not doing fireworks. You know, we do a little bit of something for, right before Christmas. And then, yeah, I mean, really we don't do anything for 4 or 5 months. And yeah, when you can get back and hang out with, you know, guys, you know, and of like minds, it really seems to bring everything back together full circle.
Yeah, that first shoot is kind of like a homecoming of sorts.
Yeah.
Or like a family reunion.
And then for you, Scott, how many club events do you guys have a year?
Let's see here. We have our winter shoot in March. We have a shoot May, June, July, August, September, October. So 7 shoots.
Wow, nice.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And then if people are up that area and they're interested to learn more about you guys, where'd they go to find out some information?
Yeah, WPAG.us is the website. Okay. There they can sign up to be a member. We also have a guest membership. If you're interested, you can come for 1 weekend and be a member.
Okay, perfect. And do you happen to know what membership dues are for the year?
I think 75 or maybe 100. I think it's 100 for a couple, for a husband and wife.
Okay, that's not bad at all.
No. Bad. And we have open C shooting, open B shooting. If you want to do a show, we got some land you can set a show up on.
Okay. And do you guys have any like multi-day events then, where you guys are, you know, out there camping for days on end and, you know, building shows and stuff?
So Friday is building only, and then Saturday is open shooting. Then Sunday is cleanup. They're going to do something new this year. I don't know too many details about it, but it was kind of like a club building event where everybody's going to build stuff and then do a little show or something with it.
Okay.
It might be on the WPEG.us website. I can't remember what shoot it is, one a month, but it'll have something on there about it.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, we'll link the website and the information so that if you want to join, then you can join. So yeah, really appreciate all the insight.
Yeah. Anything else from you, Scott, you'd like to share with us or the pyro community out there?
No, not really. I don't really got anything in my mind that really sticks out.
Okay. Yeah, man. Well, it was great to have you on. Yeah, really appreciate you coming on and chatting about your experiences with everything. Yeah, Skywars and, you know, PGI shows. Like I said, did a phenomenal job. Oh, that's one thing I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
When it comes to your PGI show, like, who picked all your songs and who scripted?
So that's a collaboration. That was me, Lance Hull, and my wife.
Okay.
Those are the three that scripted the show. I went through and just made sure everything where the product is supposed to be in the racks and stuff like that. Just changed stuff around. Just like the final edit, basically. I did a lot of that. I'm pr- pretty good at Finale. I've learned that software pretty well over the years. And it's trying to simplify stuff for setup reasons. But yeah. But the music choices were difficult to come up with. Because I'm trying to find things, because we're playing for like general public that have really never seen a show like this before. So I'm trying to pick music that they get or they heard, you know, they understand.
Right. That's known. I mean, you're really playing for the public that night. You're not playing for, you know,
right,
competition right. style where you're trying to hit, you know, 1500 cues in a song. Really, this is more of an enjoyable display for the public to watch. So I do understand exactly what you're saying there.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of anything else about. Yeah, me and Lance, we did all the single shots ahead of time in the shed. What else? And the club members, they wired everything out in the field, the shells and stuff. That was one thing too. Our shells that came in, they sent us all the wrong shells. So.
Oh my word.
So yeah, it's not exactly how the show should look, but so yeah, I spent Saturday like 5 hours going through, finding out what we actually had for shells, writing them down, and going back into Finale, changing stuff around and reprinting off labels, re-putting shells in the show. Yeah, it was a stressful time. I mean, I was the calming person and all that. I was like, yeah, I mean, we can take care of it. This is, we can figure this out, you know?
Yeah. I mean, where does your mindset go when you get these shells and
everybody was panicked. Everybody in the club was panicked and I'm kind of like, well, it's shells. I mean, shells are not the most difficult thing to script into the show. It's not like you're short single shots or something like that.
Right. Yeah, where you're trying to figure all that out. Yeah, that's a pain for sure.
So basically, I created new sims or changed the sims, and then basically selected those shells and then replaced them. It was is pretty much doing that. Purple Rain got kind of messed up because there's a lot of purple in the show that we were depending on for shells that were not there. That was unfortunate because that song could look so much nicer with the purple.
I understand. Yeah. But, well, I mean, and like I said, you know, before, I mean, really, you know, the way you scripted it, regardless of, you know, the adversities that you guys went through, like, genuinely, it was really, really good. So
I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, looking back, I mean, you know, obviously the music was, you know, was good. You know, you had problems with, you know, your shells, you know, getting there, but, if there was anything else that you would change, I mean, would you go back and do anything else? Obviously.
Yeah, we'd probably buy our shells from RKM.
9 to 11. Okay. Would you? All right.
We would definitely go a different route with that.
Yeah. I happen to know a guy that can get you those.
Just don't buy the assortments.
No, I agree with you. Don't buy the assortments.
Which you is know, hard as to much not as find. Everybody's got assortments. And
everybody's going to assortments. Yeah, that's why we started bringing in, you know, the Night Owl Premium, which, you know, we'll be putting a lot of that up. It should be going online here pretty quick. But I know we'll be putting a lot of it in the PGI show that we're doing. So really looking forward to that. Lots of new effects coming out of China. I think everybody's going to really like some of the stuff that we're bringing in. Really, really just looking forward to it. So yeah, I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely, there's a need for, importers to bring in like 1/3 shells and actually bring in like the same effects in a case. There's a need for, especially doing shows like the PGI show and stuff like that. We really need that. And there's only a handful of importers that actually do that. Most just sell assortments and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as much as assortments are nice, you know, like you're saying, I mean, as much as you're hinting at, like, you know, when you order an assortment, it's not you're never going to get 100% what says that's going to be on that sheet. And I mean, there are times that you will. I'm not going to say there won't be, but I will say probably 5 times out of 10 that, you know, China's really just trying to fulfill these orders because, you know, they're backed up against a wall too, you know, trying to get these cases of fireworks out and put them on a container to get here in time for the 4th.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the times they're just really just trying to cram shells into cases and get them here. And yeah,
I do have to give it to Pandas, the shells we use. I do have to give it to them that the box, what the box said on it, exactly what was in it, and the quantities are right. The problem is that the company that we bought the product from gave us different cases, different assortments than what we planned. Mm. That was the problem.
Okay.
And then they show up at the shelves the day of, so it was impossible to trade them out or change, you know, try to get the right product up here at that time. So.
Yeah. And then you guys had the lift out there with the single shots.
We did.
That was probably. Yeah, I love the way that you guys did your runs on the wheel. Not that I'm, you know, subject to really liking that product because it was mainly RKM or Night Owl, but
yeah, it was all Night Owl.
It was really good. Yeah, it was really really good.
It was very consistent. That's for sure.
Yeah,
it was good.
Yeah,
good product.
Yeah, we pride ourselves on making it consistent, and I know Brian, my manager, he kind of leans back to me and he's like, "Is that our product up there?" I'm like, "Yeah." He was like, "Wow, that's really outperforming itself." And I was like, yeah. So I will tell you, kudos for using it and doing it justice. I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you. The unfortunate thing with the lift though is that it had to go behind that tree line, which was unfortunate.
Oh yeah. Yep.
They weren't gonna allow us to pull it out in front.
Mm-hmm.
And that really took away from especially the bottom third of shots. But
yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah. Yeah. So there are.
That's the way to go. Now you gotta have towers.
Yeah. And what was that like? 55 feet, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yep, 55 foot. Lift, yep.
Yeah. If you could go back and change the height, would you, of that tower?
Yes. I would try to get one that I think they got them that go up to 80 feet on material handlers.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely more height.
Yeah, I was looking at some because we were debating on doing one. We were looking at getting one upwards of like 120 feet just so we could, keep it reasonable. Because Donnie, you had yours at, were they 60?
Ours were 85 at Skywars.
Oh, 85 at Skywars.
Yeah.
They look good.
55, yeah.
Yeah, even you, I mean, because you had what, primarily 25s or 30s up there?
They were almost all 30 millimeter mines. 30s. Yeah.
I mean, those rings were like slamming the ground.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, even at 85, you know, what height do you have to really get to?
Jeez.
You know,
probably a few hundred feet.
That's exactly kind of what I've been looking at. Yeah. I mean, you look at, what is it, Malta? They have the Tower of Lights.
Mm-hmm. That's insane.
What is that like? Was that like 165 feet, 168 feet, somewhere in there? And just the stuff they do on that is just,
that is mind-boggling. And that's all locally manufactured in Malta too. Those factories.
It is.
I think it's a particular factory that does that show. It's crazy.
Yeah,
and the way they got them going up the sides and then they overlap each
just
other
the runs.
And create them patterns. It's just,
Well, they're using, you know, they're using, you know, positions on the ground and positions on, you know, on the tower, shooting those horizontal and vertical, and they're creating different scenes at the same. I mean, again, you only see it for say half a second. But
I thought those towers were more like 300 feet.
It could be. I could be wrong on my numbers. But yeah, no, we were looking at what was it the other day? We were looking at, I think it was in 2011, when they were really big into doing. They'd put the positions in a circle and shoot the single shots, and do the tornado or the vortex of single shots. And we were like trying to do math on what size single shots those were. Cause, I think they had to have been using like 3-inch single shots to be able to get the height. out of them that they were getting.
So like a vertical comparison. Vortex?
Yeah, so like you take positions, like say I think theirs is 18 positions in a circle, and then they angle it. They angle each single shot so it like so it looks like the whole thing spins.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever seen that before. Yeah, but that's a really unique effect.
I think I've seen it. Yeah,
I think somebody tried to do it at PGI last year. I'm not sure who it was.
Yeah, I think it was the MUM group that tried to do it last year. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they had like 8 or 10 positions. Maybe it was 12 or something. And really, I mean, it looked good. You could tell what they were trying to accomplish. But I think a lot of it is, yeah, it's playing with the angle at which you set it and then your degree turn of each single shot to figure out when. Yeah, there's just a lot of variables, and I've been kind of messing with it. I'll have to send you some tests that I've been kind of working on where you send up a comment, or I'm sorry, you send up a comment, and then you hit five layers of meteors of the same color, and you actually create this like tornado effect. It looks really, really cool.
You're testing this out on Finale?
Some stuff away. I am testing it out in Finale, yeah. Yeah. So, kind of giving away some secrets of stuff that I'm working on, but yeah, it's whatever. It's all here for fun and game. And Taking notes as we speak. Well, I'll send you the script.
It's not a competition show, so, right?
I plead the fifth.
Oh.
Future endeavors.
Oh, future. It's the same PGI or something. Okay.
It's not PGI. Well, I don't know. It might happen at PGI. I'm not sure yet, but yeah, there's already a lot in the books for PGI, so
yeah. Hey, you guys got what, two shows?
We do have two shows, yeah. So AJ Plata is scripting one. And then I'm scripting the other with James, yeah.
You guys have an opener night and a closing night then, or?
No, we actually both shows are the same night. So
opening or closing?
Closing. So we're doing on Sunday. Oh, I'm opening night. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like Sunday night, we're gonna do. Let's see. It's gonna be the national anthem by the host, and then Pyroland is gonna go after us, or I'm sorry, after them, and then it'll be AJ and then our show.
Hmm.
So our two musicals will be back to back on Sunday night. Yeah. So lots of great things coming from PGI this year. Yeah, looking forward to the shows they have coming up. And I know normally they don't release who's coming, but they did.
No, not that early.
We got the exclusive on that here a couple of weeks ago, and we was really excited on that. So
usually they don't release that until like a month ahead, maybe. Yeah.
But
that's you guys' first PGI show then, RKM?
In 2016, we did it when we were in La Porte, we did the national anthem that got the year that they had the crazy lightning storm strike out in the field. We did the national anthem to Madison Rising that night. We were putting up crazy stuff. I think we put up like 12-inch salutes they were making on site, and they were hitting pretty hard. But it was unfortunate that like the smoke kind of really killed the view of the display, you know, because of the rainstorm the previous week, the whole week. So
was your national anthem, was that on the closing night?
It was on the closing night, yeah.
Okay, so that was one Great Lakes. And Peter Rogos had them shows that night then.
Yeah, Peter Rogos, and yeah, they did the closing display. So, yeah, because they had to pause that even a couple times because too much smoke.
Yeah, Peter stopped the show a couple times with smoke clearing and started back up.
Yeah, I know it was at least once, but I think now that I'm looking back, I think, yeah, you're right. It was more than once. I think it was twice.
I think so.
But, yeah, crazy. Things we do for Pyro, right?
Well, we all using wireless systems now, so there's less chance of hitting the module and shooting everything up in the air.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, Donnie and Scott, I appreciate you guys coming on. Yeah, I don't know if you have any final words.
But thanks Scott. For having me, guys.
Yeah, appreciate you having us or coming on and talking to us a little bit about your experience and talking about, yeah, like I said, you know, the your PGI experience, Cobra Skywars experience, you know, the importance of clubs and whatnot. So anything else, Donnie?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, again, you know, thanks, Scott, for coming on and chatting with us, and enjoyed the conversation tonight and getting to meet Scott really for the first time.
Yeah, I haven't met Donnie in person.
Able to chat with you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's good to see everybody and everybody out there listening. Keep up the listens. We are seem to be getting some good feedback and some good listens, and so definitely appreciate all the support from all of our listeners out there and our sponsors. And we will see you all next week. And until then, go out and unleash your inner pyro.
This has been another episode of Pyro Unleashed. Come back each week for more industry insights, technical tips, and awesome pyro designs. Have fun out there, be safe, and as always, remember to unleash your inner pyro with us.